All right, everybody.
Welcome, everybody, to the show Life's a Banquet, the show that's edible, spreadable, and Zara.
Horrible.
Starring your hosts, me, Brenton Scott, and
me, Zara Tangora.
A show about ostriches, wine, and dough.
I'm drunk.
Always. Life's a banquet, life's a banquet, life's a banquet, banquet.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 14 of Life's a Banquet podcast, the show that's edible, spreadable, and
pourable
about the highs and lows and the woes and the bows
and the ant blows
and the snows.
It's Life's a Banquet. He's Breton. I'm Zara. Together, we are superpower.
That's right. Two former cooks and chefs. Wait, former? We still are.
Yeah.
Whoa!
I just made spanakopita.
And I just made a plum.
Oh, no. Welcome to episode 14 of the Plum Cast.
I forgot. Brent's. Plums are going strong, but I decided that I wasn't going to turn on the oven. Although, I have a very magical thing that happened. The gods of food and beverage.
Tell us.
Well, you know how I was looking for what do they call that? A countertop convection oven, right? I bet many of you have those, right?
Oh, yeah. That's a very useful tool.
I was walking by. There's a new restaurant opening up in Fort Greene in the heart of Brooklyn. And
where?
Across from the Annex Cafe, which is right near my apartment.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the guys were putting out their convection oven that they had a little stovetop on. It wasn't expensive. It was like a Black & Decker.
Yeah.
But I thought, they were like, hey, do you want this? It was used like once.
What? They gave it to you?
It was brand new.
Are you kidding me?
No, so I...
Everything just falls in your lap.
Falls in my lap. So I turned it on and it works and it's clean and it didn't smell. I was like... And then on the way home, I thought, I wonder if they cooked a dead rat in here.
Really? Why would have they?
What?
Just to spite you?
Because I've been watching too many horror movies.
That like, guy, let's give him the rat oven that we've been baking like, rats in.
Cut off rat ankles. Well...
Probably not. I think it's probably... I would say at the most, a rat has probably run through it,
mm-hmm.
but probably not been cooked.
Well, it was
in it.
Inside and they were bringing it out. So I thought it was very safe. It smelled like peaches. Just kidding. It didn't smell like peaches.
Maybe
but
they
in
made
my head,
a plum kuchen in it.
Yeah, it smelled like a plum kuchen. It was good
exactly
to go.
Exactly like a plum, fresh baked plum kuchen.
Well, there was a lot that went on this week.
It was a very big week in
it
our
was
lives.
A very big week
for Brett and Scott and
so
family
many times.
What happened?
Well, nothing. I didn't turn the damn oven on.
I did yesterday because it wasn't hot yesterday. I knew today it would be. So I baked off a ton of spanakopita. I have a couple people in my life right now. One of them our sound editor, Chrissy, who sprained her ankle, who needs spanakopita. Another is a friend going through a tough time and... Say it with spanakopita.
Yes.
That's what my family motto
Say
is.
Say it with spanakopita. Yeah, I love spanakopita. Oh, Zara, well, we had that wonderful beach.
We had a beach day.
A full-on lobster. What do they call that? A lobster bake?
A lobster boil.
We steamed them.
So we technically had a lobster steam.
Mm-hmm.
But they were delicious. Bobby was slurping guts.
There was tutorials. But I loved how there was, Preston, my boyfriend, had never eaten a full lobster before.
He did a great job.
Yeah, he went for it. And the funny thing was, in the heart of Long Island,
Good job. Okay. 13 years. Cheers to you.
And next to him was your mother's friend, who also was from Utah. Preston's from Salt Lake City. And she,
a Utahian?
Of course, a Utahian.
Oh, weird.
Utanescos. And... Just by, she has been Kathy.
Let's call her
Kathy because that's her real name. Kathy apparently is a fabulous cook and we're going to definitely be featuring Kathy.
Show.
Yeah. We'll get her on. We'll cook for her. We'll use her giant fabulous stove. But she was teaching Preston how to crack the lobster. And then Becky, our other friend, Becky, who's from Philly.
Love you, Becky.
But everybody really... had a really nice...
Yeah, they taught him how to eat lobster around the table.
And you know what the weird thing is I never got a tutorial like that. I just always ate it and was like, crush this, tear that, rip that, suck that.
You took the caveman approach.
Yeah, if you rip hard enough, you'll get into that claw.
Exactly.
Dipped in decadent...
Kerrygold butter.
Kerrygold butter.
I'm salivating right now.
Everybody had at least 8 ounces of butter.
Oh my God.
And we had butter soup and buttered corn and
everything with butter. That was okay. So during the summertime, I will flip into like beast eating mode. I almost said beast mode, but that's what dudes say when they like go to the gym now.
Beast mode. Yeah, there was
I'm in beast mode.
I listened to a playlist on
so
Spotify.
Did I.
Called Beast
at the
mode.
Gym, like at the park the other day. Mm-hmm. I was listening to Beast Mode. It was fine.
I did it the first time in the winter, and I smoked some weed and went to the gym because that's mm-hmm. the new thing. Because I'm the new poster child for marijuana mm-hmm. and working out. I lost 40 pounds on weed. So yeah. go figure.
I just like get really ravenous when there's summer food, and I feel like summer food is meant to be eaten with your hands, and it's like completely fine if you're mm-hmm. covered in like juices.
Well, especially with a lobster boil.
Yeah. So
steam.
In
bake.
This type of situation, I forego the fork. I just like basically crunch the whole lobster part with my hands. Like I was bleeding the other day mm-hmm. because a lobster shell cut me. Grabbing like tomato chunks with my hand, like dripping. My clothes are ruined. But it was great. It was really fun.
I found another very provocative shaped vegetable at the farmer's
yes,
market.
Oh, yes, you did. Mm-hmm. The pussy squash.
So far this summer, I have been fortunate to find an ass or a pussy, depending on however you decide to look at it.
Yeah. One side was an ass. The other side was the pussy.
Yeah. I found first a cantaloupe. And
oh, that was an ass.
That was a very... That was clearly an ass.
Yeah,
I have a YouTube video. If you donate to our Patreon page, you can get the video.
Yeah, you can see.
I don't want to post it publicly because I'm just not ready for a viral video right now.
Yeah, totally.
I just
You have too much going on in your life to mm-hmm. become like
I
want to
lay
famous.
Low. Yeah, I'm just like the character actor of the food world. People like I'm just not. Anyway, so now I found we found a delicata squash.
Mm-hmm.
There is also a video of that.
Yes.
Lots of video, lots of cameras rolling, lights,
what
production
managers.
What else
did you find that was ass-shaped this summer?
Just those two things.
Well, that's a lot for one summer, though.
Well, especially large. These weren't cherries.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like a twisted carrot that somebody's like, oh, look at, they look like legs.
Yeah. Oh, they're hugging. They're so cute. Yeah, no, this was straight up, if you could... what's that movie, Lars and the Real Girl?
Yes.
You could Lars and the Real Girl these
You could
these
sell
vegetables.
This on eBay.
Yeah.
And there would be a certain
yeah.
type of people.
They're on the dark web.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to the dark web?
I don't know what that is.
Really?
No.
The dark web?
No. Is this?
You're unaware?
No.
I don't know how to get there. It's like finding a portal, like a black hole? Correct. But so the dark web is where people like trade other people and like... You can pay people to like murder your family members
on the
internet. But it's like in Stranger Things, like the Upside Down, but with the internet.
Wow.
It's worse than the real internet.
I feel like suddenly there's
everyone's paying in bitcoins.
Wow.
Yeah. Newt Gingrich lives there.
Anyway, well, that's where. Fine. Then I'm going to sell that damn delicata squash because if I can get the best,
you got to find the dark
the
web
buck.
First. Yeah, yeah. Well, anyone out there listening, can you give Brett and I directions to the dark web, please? Thank mm-hmm. you.
Also, if anybody else has any of ass shaped or other funny shaped vegetable and fruit stories, please email us in.
What have you cooked?
Nothing because I didn't want to. I didn't want to turn the oven on.
Oh.
So I have been. I have been cooking, and I cook only stir fries.
Oh, wow.
I got a wok.
Oh, right. You were telling us about what it's like to have a wok the other day.
I got
day.
A wok for
Go
the
ahead.
First
Continue.
Time in since the 90s when everybody had those like red electric woks, usually made by West Bend or something.
Picture it. 1990.
Picture 1991.
The streets are lined with woks.
Yes.
They're everywhere.
Your countertops are made of white corian. There's cobalt glass. I feel like I always say this every episode. There's cobalt glassware everywhere.
Well, that's okay. You're painting the picture.
Yes. Exactly. The crisscross patterns on your dish towels. Lots of plaids, navies, and whites, and everything. And anyway, that's when we used to use a wok. And I'll tell you the first thing. Was anybody in high school debate? Were you in high school debate or anything?
Anybody in this room?
Oh, yeah.
So like either me or like the ghost of my dad that's probably sitting. he like raises his hand. He's like, oh, it was.
I'm talking to our listeners out there.
Oh, okay.
High school debate, I chose, there's several categories you can choose, and I chose demonstrative.
Okay.
AKA give a speech and tell you how to do something. So I decided I was going to make stir fry.
Okay. For
high school debate.
Okay.
And so you would go into, you know, we would have debate shows, and I worked with a girl named Kelly Farrell, and one time my friends threw a bag of shit on her front step.
Oh,
it was terrible.
Kids are terrible. But that's like innocent, horrible stuff compared to what kids do today.
Kelly,
but...
if you're listening, it was not me. It was RJ Richter. There, told on you.
Oh,
so listen,
you're outing RJ.
Kelly and I, we used peanut oil. We traveled. It was like our first food demo.
Okay.
And the first time we did it, we forgot to bring a cutting board. And I wanted to make sure that it was very dramatic. And so I brought this giant cleaver.
Oh, no.
And I cut directly onto the table, which was like a high school classroom.
Yeah, covered in like boogers and sperm.
Docked me. She gave us like, you know, I don't know, let's say 3 out of 5 points. I don't remember, like satisfactory or less, and didn't advance us to the next round because she said we were unprepared and didn't have a cutting board and I potentially ruined school property.
Oh,
and I was like, God. But did you try the stir fry? Because I made it Kung Pao style with peanuts and straw mushrooms. You didn't try the stir fry. You were, oh. And that's why I never went into food competitions.
Oh my God. And so, mm-hmm. Wow. So tell us some more about your earliest memories. Does this remind you of your mother?
Yes. And mom, no, I didn't do it, mom. I didn't. So anyway, fast forward. The year is 2018.
Okay.
We have a new president.
Yeah.
People are running about.
Everything's so much better now.
Everything's Instagrammable. It looks better on the screen than it does in person. It's wonderful. We have Kindles and on demand, you know, it's fabulous. So I got a walk. Preston got a walk for mm-hmm. me. And it's made out of blue steel or something. And it's kind of naturally
blue
nonstick.
Steel?
Yeah.
Like so, the Zoolander?
Yes. Like blue steel. That walk's giving me blue steel. So that's it. I've just been making a lot of fried rice.
Ooh.
Fried rice. Just throw those summer vegetables in there.
Yeah.
I can tell you can get farm to table dinner styles in less than 12 minutes. To your family, to your friends, I'm telling you, you just get this on here, and I'm telling you, you chop your carrots, you chop your celery, and your zucchini.
And just put it right in the wok?
That's right. You just turn that thing on high.
What can't you put in a wok?
Well, I don't recommend, I don't know, I think it's like a pan, so what would you not put in a pan?
I guess a bowling ball?
Yeah, but you could.
That's true, you
yeah,
could.
Yeah, you could. I wouldn't eat or cook
it's
the bowling
stone
ball.
Stone soup.
Yeah. You know what? That was very funny. Okay. Whatever. I've been making lots of stir fries. Tell me.
Well, I didn't really make that much this week, but I did make for the beach party lobster boil that we had. I made scorpion bowls, which is my new thing because it incorporates a few things that I really love. One, watermelon. Mm-hmm. Delicious. Seasonal. Amazing. Sweet.
Oh, I've been
refreshing.
Do you remember when I said I was inspired by you,
yes.
by the scorpion bowl, but I didn't want to drink.
Yeah.
And I pureed the watermelon. I didn't strain it. I just drank it. I didn't put anything in it. I did finish it with some lime juice at the end. Like
yeah,
I squeezed
perfect.
A lime in and I put a little like thing of salt on the top.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized, this is what in Mexico they call agua fresca,
mm-hmm.
which is simply pureed fruit.
Yeah, delicious.
So it combines
watermelon. So
pink watermelon.
Yes. So seedless. My favorite things, seedless small watermelons, anything mm-hmm. smaller than it's supposed to be really gives me a good smile on my face. So
mm-hmm.
a teeny watermelon, bowl yes. sized, tiny seedless watermelons, tequila.
Chef recommends sharing that between 2 to 3 people.
Absolutely. Or if you're Breton,
drink one watermelon.
One whole watermelon.
And then wonder why the next day your life fell apart for like just only 11 hours. And then it was fine. Go ahead.
So, and any kind of booze like tequila or whatever. Mm-hmm. We've already talked about this, but so I really like it because you can also decorate them with the gaudiest, most random shit you have around your house. And it's really fun.
The one that I happened to drink on Sunday was decorated with number 1, a tiara, number 2, my beads, which I bought in India, and number 3, I don't know, there was some others.
A Groucho Marx glasses and fake
Groucho
nose.
That's right. There was Groucho Marx glasses.
Yeah.
Held together with a
tiny
skewer.
Fox.
Mm-hmm. And a tiny fox. And I stuck that straw in there and I slurped. And it really was a large quantity of cocktail.
Yeah, it was probably like seven drinks.
Seven drinks. And on top of all the wine I had.
Yeah.
Monday morning, which was yesterday.
And chamomile grappa.
And I thought it was fine.
Yeah.
I got up at 6:30. I was like, see, nothing stops Bretton Scott. Watch out. Watch out, world.
Oh, look out, world. Here I come.
And I went to the park and I tried to do my, you know, classic yoga practice and I just couldn't move my body.
Yeah.
Yeah. I even put that Sia song on, Move Your Body, and it didn't work. All of my old tricks.
I'm just picturing you tied up kind of like a marionette puppet and like some giant is like trying to pull you and move you. Yeah. I don't know why that image just got into my head, but it's really funny.
And then after I couldn't move, I decided that I couldn't talk to any humans.
Yeah.
And so I was encountered humans, like Ash, my friend Ash came over and I was like, I can't look at you. And I was,
oh no,
I couldn't look at him. I couldn't look. It hurt.
Really?
I couldn't speak.
You were that hungover?
Yeah. And then I went to, I tried to take a nap for an hour and I didn't. And the only thing that I could eat was I had some stir fry. And
of course
that's it.
Wow.
And then that's didn't drink. I worked through it and I had two cups of coffee and I was fine, but it was a 8:55 p.m. hangover.
Yep. Those are really bad. I was with my friend yesterday who also had an 8:55 p.m. hangover.
And then suddenly I felt, it's like, oh, I'm so sorry about earlier today.
Yeah. I didn't, I'm sorry for what I said when I was cooking.
Yeah, I'm
bizarre
sorry.
Tangora
for,
story.
I didn't mean any of those things for the last 11 hours. In fact, my life is not crumbling. In fact, everything's
Your mother isn't annoying.
That person that I pushed into the subway platform, I take that back.
I love your love handles. That's why they're called love handles.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Breton, you know, let me ask you a question. Breton, can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
On this show, I don't know if you've noticed, but we tend to be a little bit juvenile when it comes to sexual innuendo and puns.
You mean gender fluid delicata squashes, for example?
Eggplant emojis.
Yes.
The word caucus.
Mm-hmm.
So
the word spatchcocked, which is
anything with cock, basically.
Yeah.
Cockatiel, cockatoo, cockamamie.
Different shapes of cucumbers and eggplants. And
yeah.
Squirrel obsessed.
Butternut squashes, yes. Which, may I just say, were made as a joke for humans.
Yes.
It is a giant cock and balls.
Giant.
There's like balls at the bottom.
I know. Remember when I got that horseradish root the other day?
Oh, yeah. That's another penis-shaped thing that's just like a
there
big
is
joke
a lot.
On us.
Well, we've just decided to turn that into
an
whole
episode.
Topic.
A whole episode. So today's episode, you lucky listeners, is about food and sex.
Mm-hmm.
Or sex and food and where they collide.
Or just food, comma, sex.
Yeah. Or food sex.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like splashing, which is a little thing where people like to, they get sexual stimulation and arousal from sitting or plopping into wet food.
Oh, they actually sit in.
They sit in it.
So they would, if they
or
have
or rub it on themselves. But it, like what I've seen is a lot of cake sitting. A lot of people just putting
cake
their,
and pies.
Like this kind of noise. Like.
Mm-hmm.
Like just that.
Okay,
like,
I see. I,
you know,
that makes sense.
Slosh, like a splashing. So I wanted to tell you a little bit about some things that I read. Lucky, luscious, loving listeners.
Mm.
I got all my information today from Wikipedia, Smithsonian.com, Slate.com, and Ranker.com. Thank you very much for doing all the work for me. I just put it all together.
We just read it and we talk about it and the cash comes rolling in.
The jokes write themselves. So food and sex are two of the most basic drives
they
of
sure
animal
are.
Behavior.
They really sure are.
Aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and a lot of times, I mean, we all know the kind of common feeling of, you know, when you're having an orgasm and when you're biting into a, you know, turkey sandwich with a perfect amount of mayonnaise and cheddar cheese and Doritos on
Can
it.
Can I
it's
interject
the same thing.
Really quickly?
Absolutely. Please interject.
We had a peach-gasm.
Oh my God.
Okay. So listen.
That was otherworldly.
Picture this, Saturday morning. I had an incredible workout at the park, Fort Greene Market.
As did I.
Fort Greene Market, and it was sunny, it was hot, it was August, it was beautiful. And Zara bought a peach, and we stood under a chestnut tree.
Yeah.
Yes, and we ate our peaches, which were the juiciest.
They were
the
so sexual.
The most luscious.
They're amazing.
And you said that they were better than sex.
I agree. I eat a nectarine every morning and I don't have any I don't even have any need
to. You don't have
to
worry about texting back or dinner plans. Like save your money. That nectarine is probably $2.
Exactly. I'm like, I don't need to date anymore. I have a nectarine.
Mm-hmm.
We should mention that oddly enough, when we were eating these peaches, we had run into my ex-boyfriend.
Yeah.
And you're a good friend, and we all shared a peach, and the peaches brought us together.
Yeah.
It wasn't even weird.
We've surpassed.
A peach can heal all wounds, even the most broken of hearts.
Except for that cut I have with that acidic peach.
Oh, actually, speaking of a wound, it can heal. I bit into a nectarine the other day, and a piece of the fucking pit broke off and stabbed through my lip. And I just yanked it out of my lip and kept eating the rest of the nectarine.
That peach had a little bit of a... It was like...
It bit back.
They're like, do you like
It's like, do you like
this,
when I nibble on your lips?
Yeah,
and I was
like,
not really, fucking peach. Get out of here.
Nectarine.
Get out of
the
here,
fuck
you
out of
here. Get out of here, you nectarine. Ugh, it's It's getting hot in here because okay. we turned off the air conditioning, and also we're talking about sex. So
actually, we're talking about peaches.
So, in the research in the animal community with like chimpanzees, I was reading a little bit about like how we can kind of set this up in our mind early on with food and sex. Mm-hmm. Is that as animals, as people or actual animals, in this case, they're talking about chimpanzees.
Mm-hmm. Humans are animals.
Right. So typically the male back in the day, now things have changed, but for chimps, still kind of the case.
still doing it after all.
Still doing it. The male would go out and hunt and gather and bring back meat. And so the woman, the female chimpanzee would be attracted to the male for going to get meat and therefore would equate, mm-hmm. And then want to, because he was providing for her. And then so she would kind of get with him and give him sex and be his partner based on what kind of food he could provide.
So bringing home the bacon is a thing.
Yes. Wouldn't it be weird if chimpanzees literally brought home bacon?
Brought home bacon.
They're like, hey, I couldn't find any bananas, but I got this beautiful artisanal bacon.
Yeah, we went to Fleischer's Meats in Fifth Avenue in Brooklyn.
That's because that's how chimpanzees talk. They're like, so food and sex are also physically connected through the limbic system of the brain, which mm-hmm. controls the emotional activity, and they walk a similar emotional line and bring out similar types of reactions.
Enjoyment.
Exactly. You are feeling
sensual.
Pleasure.
You are feeling pleasure button. Push the pleasure button. Yes. Oh, it's like a martini.
Oh my God. I wish that a martini would push my pleasure button. I may need to pause this in a second and push my own pleasure button.
Exactly.
I might have to vacillate. So anyway, the thing that they share in common, what it brings out in our human brains, is a substance called dopamine.
That's why we smoked a weed.
Dopamine.
That's why we drink.
That's why it's called dope. And it's a hormone that signals cravings, and dopamine plays a huge part in human behavior because it's basically what's driving us to, we're driven by two things. We're driven by necessity, mm-hmm. which food and sex are both necessities. And then we're also driven by, cultivating pleasure. Our bodies also produce a chemical stimulant. Can you pronounce this for me? I'm bad at pronouncing things.
Phenylethylamine.
Otherwise known as PEA.
As well as norepinephrine.
It sounds like norepinephrine.
Norepinephrine.
We'll just call it that.
Norepinephrine panini.
And they make our body,
they're delicious.
Chemicals make our bodies feel alert, alive, giddy, excited, and make many of us lose our appetite. So that's the kind of feelings you feel when you're kind of falling in love with somebody. And a lot of people, like I know for myself, if I'm like really into somebody or kind of like down.
How come when I'm into somebody, I want to make lots of let's make nachos, everybody.
I do want to make food, but do you ever get I'm always into making food, but I don't think about it. I don't think about eating. If I'm really sprung on some dude, and really excited to be hanging out, I'll be la 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 la. Days have passed. I haven't eaten, but look at my skin. Yeah.
I had one oyster. Everything's good. And two bottles of champagne.
Exactly. You just, you can kind of if you go on a date or something and you're really into somebody, you're not thinking, oh, I'm so hungry. You're just in the moment. I guess that's because of, norepinephrine polyethylamine.
Yes, norepinephrine paninis.
So for much of the 20th century, scientists viewed pleasure as just kind of a second-class sensation. And so that basically scientists...
Don't bother with it.
They looked at it that everything was just based on necessity. So we eat, we fuck, to simply satiate ourselves and to reproduce, to keep the human race going.
Oh, wow.
And for nothing else. And they didn't really think of pleasure as being an actual thing until the 1950s, which seems like a really long time.
It was a really long time ago, but a very short time ago.
It's so interesting because there's obviously been people who throughout history, all kinds of really decadent, opulent cultures that have been really into sex, and the Romans and the Greeks and, the Trumps. And
that's why birds do it, bees do it.
So I just think it's very strange that it took till the 1950s for this to become a thing. But in the 1950s, Dr. James Olds, a behavioral scientist, pioneered the pleasure research. And he thought that it was completely opposite and that he was basically proving a pleasure principle that I'm not going to get into all of his research. It's pretty long and extended, but he was the first guy to kind of, theorize and provide, some really concrete research as to that humans actually do things for pleasure and specifically sex and eating. those were the kind of like...
Well, isn't it funny now with our social media world we're living in? Social media.
Like it. Hashtag do it.
Do it.
Napster,
yeah.
Napster, Grindr.
All these, you
Flickr.
Know, they're like the...
Snapchat.
Egg yolk, you know, food porn.
Mm-hmm. I can't.
We don't like that
with
word.
Food porn. Please, no. No more
sorry,
food porn.
We don't like that. Even though this episode is about that.
I don't even like regular porn.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, not that there's anything wrong with it, but I certainly don't like food porn.
So Zara is the only person out there. But so listen.
I don't like pornography and I'm going to... This podcast is an anti-porn podcast now.
Well, so that's kind of funny that he talks about that because yeah. I was looking into aphrodisiacs, right?
Oh, yeah. You were.
Well, so again, taking that aphrodisiac, you know, from the word Aphrodite, the goddess of love, the ancient Greek goddess. So I found a few things. Right now, I bet right off the top of all of your heads in my head, when I think of an aphrodisiac, I think of a wormwood. No, just kidding. I think of... People think of like, you know, Valentine's Day.
I think
like
of buffalo wings.
Chocolate cake. Yes, buffalo wings. The spaghetti from Lady and the Tramp. such things like that. But, you know, some of the famous ones like oysters, right? So I was looking at oysters.
That's the first thing I think about.
And when I was very young, I thought, oh, well, you know, it's probably 21. I worked at this restaurant and we would get oysters and I was like, oh, they're supposed to be an aphrodisiac. And I would eat a dozen a day. Of course, I was 21.
You just had a boner all the time.
No, well, yeah. Well, I was 20. Again, I said I was 21. Life was, when I was 17, I had a boner all the time. Some of the other famous ones are orchids, which
really?
You know that the word orchis is Greek for testicle?
No.
Well, now you do.
Can you eat an orchid?
Sure, why not? Pop it in the...
Wow.
I mean, have you been to a fancy Thai restaurant on the Upper East Side?
No, but next time I get a date, I'm going to make him a fucking orchid omelet for breakfast. Yeah. Hey,
girl. Have you been to a sushi restaurant on 63rd and Lex? They serve all kinds of orchids in their sashimi platters. And let's see, partridge brains. And now this...
Excuse me? Wait, don't just go right past that. Partridge brains, is that something
I
don't know?
This information I got from Schott's Food and Drink Miscellany, which was a book... written by Ben Schott, and he, you know, does
How
all kinds
cool.
of, yeah, there's so much fabulous information, but he's, you know, and he talks about not only oysters within the seafood, but oysters and lobsters and crabs and sea hedgehogs. When I was in Chinatown a few
Excuse
weeks.
Excuse me? Mm-hmm. What's a sea hedgehog?
I don't know. Well, I think a sea hedgehog.
A sea urchin?
It might be, but also I was in Chinatown a few weeks ago, which led me to that Viceland series.
Okay.
Well, that's not why, but. And there was all those sea cucumbers dried. And if you walk through Chinatown, pretty much in any Chinatown, or perhaps actually in China, you'll find all those dried seafood items.
Yeah.
There's dried starfish. There's dried
so
scallops
many, everything
and
dried.
Shrimp. And they had all these cucumbers. And I asked this guy, and he said, oh, those are sea cucumbers. It's, like, it's good for erection. And I was
oh,
like,
really?
Oh,
did you get one?
No, I don't need it anymore. So,
wait.
There, you know, the person that made oysters famous was the famous, you know, Casanova, Giacomo Girolamo Casanova, who is, by the way, an 18th century person that's known for being a fabulous lover. Like, yeah. Oh, like, give him all the Casanova treatment.
Wait a minute. He's Casanova?
Casanova is the person that said he ate all those oysters and he seduced over 100 women, which... If you're in New York and a gay man,
I mean,
I'm
that's
not that impressed.
Like, it's like a Tuesday night.
Yeah, I was like,
it's like that
that's like 2016.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, apparently, so according, there was a couple studies that I found, and I won't bore you with the details, but one was in the 2015 Sexual Medicine Reviews. You know, it says that oysters do contain certain amino acids, which definitely are important to the neural pathway of the pleasure response, as you were talking about before.
Wow.
And of course, zinc, which occurs in which is very prevalent in oysters, has been proven or potentially proven to increase testosterone.
Really? Zinc makes me barf.
Oh, and here's a really good one I found. Have you heard the one about the guy who did the thing about the thing? Nutmeg. Nutmeg is supposed... Now, I found two opposing situations for nutmeg. One is in, I think it was in Zanzibar.
Okay.
The women use it during their wedding ceremonies. Most of them are Islam or Muslim, so there's no alcohol allowed, and they take higher doses of nutmeg.
Yeah, because if you take too much, it can actually kill you. You can overdose from it.
Mm-hmm.
So must send you to some kind of, like, is it like a...
I don't know. But then
wow.
They said that the women become very excited.
Oh, God.
But it's a don't. And it's a.
Can you pause this? I'm just going to go grate some nutmeg into my mouth. Just kidding. Don't pause
okay,
it.
Hold
no,
on.
Don't actually pause it.
And you're back. Perfect. Oh, wow.
Ooh,
so
my,
this is
my.
Very awkward. So
happy
listen.
Happy fall.
Then there was a spice trader that was interviewed, and I got this. I think this article was. I can't remember where. Don't worry about it. I'm not worried. Good. We're over it. That says men don't have to worry about it. They just play football and then they can have sex, which makes no sense at all.
I'm sorry. Excuse me?
Yeah.
Men don't have to worry about taking aphrodisiacs, so they just play football?
Yeah. So then I on the dark net, on the dark internet, I found this guy that talked about how he would take 25 milligrams of nutmeg and then he would masturbate for 12 hours straight. And then he said he would sip water because he was worried about the grand come down and anxiety.
The come down?
Yeah, the come down. He said he actually would come
sure,
at 4 to 5 a.m. in the morning.
Wait, he only would come one time after masturbating for 12 hours?
Yes, they call that edging or something.
That sounds like very painful.
And then...
You're going to rub your whole penis
there's
off.
There's all kinds of theories about aphrodisiacs and, you know, if it stimulates just the erectile function portion of the man
yeah.
or whether it actually makes you desire... There's all kinds of things
wow.
that could be considered an aphrodisiac because is it just like, are we talking about like a natural Viagra, which all
yeah.
it's doing is increasing blood flow. That's what we want. We want blood.
Blood flow.
Kids, we want blood. Blood
yeah.
flowing everywhere.
I heard that spicy things can be.
Capsicum is another
yeah.
one. Yes, that is true. There's all, I mean, saffron.
Ooh.
These are all, I mean, basically...
That's an aphrodisiac for me, because if you're feeding me saffron, that means I know you're rich and there's nothing that I like more than a rich man.
That's right.
Just kidding.
Saffron.
I pretty much only date
There
really
was
poor people.
One time when I was bartending, pulling some quick cash from the old people here in New York City. But anyway, the owners of, there was a tequila mezcal maker called Gem and Bolt.
Okay.
And they added an herb called Damiana.
Okay.
Which was a dried flower native to Mexico and parts of southern United States, you know, around mm-hmm. Texas. And Damiana was supposed to be another aphrodisiac that they added to their mezcal.
Okay.
But as our fabulous Shakespeare said in Macbeth, he said, alcohol provokes the desire, but taketh away the performance.
Ah, whiskey dick.
Whiskey dick girl.
Oh yes, whiskey dick.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I've met one or two of those in my time.
Yeah, I never have.
You've never met a whiskey dick.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah,
they
met
call that...
one doesn't mean you,
yeah.
you know, have one.
Well, what else? What else? What else?
Oh well, there's so much else.
Yeah. What else can we have? Just
that's it.
Touch the tip of the iceberg.
Ooh.
We've touched the tip of the eggplant.
Just
of
the tip of the eggplant.
Yeah, that's right.
So we're all well versed in some of our favorite films that feature food and sex. And there was more than I could even remember. I was looking on Ranker today about films, the best food sex scene in films, and some of them I remembered. And actually, I remembered all of them. There was a couple of like random like. Foreign films from like the 60s that I didn't know, but most of these I knew. And so these were my favorite ones of the ones that I found on the Ranker list. 9 1/2 weeks, that scene when Kim Basinger and Mickey Rooney, I'm sorry, Mickey Rooney, geez, that would be a very different movie. Mickey Rourke.
I love Mickey Rooney and Kim
Yep, that's the remix. That's 10 1/2 weeks. 9 1/2 weeks, Mickey Rourke and Kim Basinger when he's feeding her food from the fridge.
I never saw it.
Oh my God. It's amazing. So there, it's so 80s. They're sitting in front of the fridge. The fridge is open. Picture it. We're looking at my fridge right now. So he opens it and she just, for a basically anorexically thin woman in the 1980s, has like every kind of food in her fridge.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like corkscrew pasta, the fusilli.
Fusilli,
and then
classic. Yeah.
There's like cherry tomatoes. And then she has maraschino, cherry pie filling. So he's just feeding her each one of these things. First, he like...
Really?
Like, yeah, he like puts a grape in her. It's very sexy, though. But then he like... Oh, and a full Jell-O mold.
Yes.
Like
a lot of people had those in the 80s.
I know, but like a single... Like a woman who's like on her own. Like, oh, you know what? I just need to make my Jell-O mold for the week so someone can like feed it to me.
She was going to take it to the office party on Friday for Connie's birthday. Yes. I know she was.
So that's like, and then they bang. That's amazing. Did you ever see the movie Flashdance?
Mm-hmm. I mean,
when Jennifer Grey is eating lobster and she's like playing footsie and like rubbing the guy's package under the table, and she's like really sexily eating lobster, much more sexy than I was eating lobster the other day. I looked like a total behind.
We should have all watched that before we ate. Yeah.
Yeah. I was basically looked like I was, I don't know, going for my very last meal. I was like the first America's first woman. So anyway, she looked a lot better than me eating lobster. American Pie, of course.
Yeah.
Jason Biggs having sex with that pie. As an eighth grader, that was very provocative.
Yeah.
It was shocking. I mean,
especially for then, that was...
I mean...
We didn't talk about that in 19... Whenever that was, 90...
Yeah, I think like 1999, yeah.
Was it? Or was it that late? Anyway.
I think so. Then like a terrible one. Did you ever see The Last Tango in Paris?
Never saw it.
Marlon Brando is like really past his prime. He's like kind of looks like a fake person, mm-hmm. like wearing an old Marlon Brando mask.
Yeah, they put lots of foundation.
He looks really bad in this film. And anyway, he's like, I won't give you the whole synopsis of the film, but he anally rapes this woman using butter.
Oh.
It's horrible.
Was it Breton butter?
No, but she said it ruined her. The movie ruined her life, the actress. And then Why? She felt... He didn't actually rape her, but she felt raped. And, like, she just, like, was really traumatized by it. And it wasn't written into the script. He, like, improvised it. It's very hard to watch.
I thought he was gay.
I think he was bi.
Oh, okay.
So he was gay.
So he just, yeah.
He loved butter.
If you're bi, we totally get it.
Yeah, that's fine. Do whatever you want. So he loved butter. Fast Times at Ridgemont High, when Phoebe Cates shows Jason Lee how to basically give fellatio to a carrot.
Mm-hmm.
Great scene.
Classic scene.
Lake Water for Chocolate. Do you ever see that movie?
No.
Oh my God, you would love it. Mm-hmm. So it's basically about a woman who's a chef, and like she bakes and cooks all this like stuff, and she's like a witch. She makes a spell with everything she does, and so this one meal she cooks, she puts all this stuff into it so that everyone will get like really horny, and everyone's sitting at the table, and then all of a sudden they're biting into their food, and they're like, oh, ah, and they start like ripping
this
their clothes
so
off.
Weird.
It's really amazing. Tampopo, have you seen that?
Never heard of it.
Oh my, you will die. If anyone out there has not seen Tampopo, it is one of the greatest movies ever made. It's a Japanese movie about a ramen shop, and it's like campy and funny and incredible. And there's this scene in it where like these two people pass an egg yolk back and forth in between each other's mouths. And it's
wacko.
I can't look at it because the thought of like someone spitting an egg yolk into my mouth makes me want to just die. But the movie is amazing. And of course, one of the most famous food sex scenes ever,
written by
Nora Ephron.
Yeah.
When Harry Met Sally, when Meg Ryan is having that incredible fake orgasm in the diner.
Mm-hmm. And the woman says, I'll have what she's having. That was really,
that's one of the most classic lines ever in film history. Yeah, it's great.
I'll have what she's having.
Billy Crystal, huh? Love that Billy. Where did he go? Where is he right now? Are you listening, Billy? Are you listening? We need you. Come out of hiding.
Billy, that's so funny. He's got Billy on the podcast. Here he is. Billy
Crystal. Billy Crystal, come on down. And then, of course, Lady and the Tramp, you mentioned before with the spaghetti scene.
That's one
for the kiddos.
That's right.
That's cute. And then my favorite food sex scene, not in a movie, but in television, is when the episode of Seinfeld when George decides he wants to start eating during sex. And so he brings a pastrami sandwich into bed, and his girlfriend catches him. He's like, what are you doing? And then he spews out my favorite line ever in Seinfeld. I flew too close to the sun on wings of pastrami, which I say all the time and no one ever knows what I'm talking about.
Now I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So anyway, my story today that I wanted to tell you about, speaking of internet things, is about a woman named Auntie Angel. Angel actually joined us today for the show. She gave us an interview. It was my distinct pleasure and honor to chat with her. I really admire her and what she does. And, you know, it's an internet video, so it's funny and shocking, but really, I just have the utmost of respect for this woman. She empowers other women around the globe. I think that she is exactly what is right with the world. She's brave. She's courageous. She's uninhibited. And she's fun. And she's funny. And I just want to really thank you so much, Angel. We're so lucky to have you on this podcast. You're a friend of the show, and it really was my honor.
People have always used some type of food in the bedroom.
I don't know if any of you guys ever saw the Grapefruit Lady video.
Before today, I've never heard of it.
It went viral. It has something like, I don't know, 10 million views or something on YouTube.
Oh, wow.
So anyway, Auntie Angel is this amazing woman. She like runs like a sex positive, sex empowering education. She has like, that's her whole vibe. So basically, she created something called the grapefruit blowjob, where you cut the ends off of a grapefruit, you cut a hole in the middle of the grapefruit, and then you put it over a guy's dick, and you like suck his dick while you're moving a grapefruit up and down it. But the thing is that she demonstrates this in a way that is so incredible, with the most like animalistic slurping sounds like that one could possibly imagine.
But she
owns it so hard. Like, she's so chill. Like, it's like not one of those internet things where you watch it. It is funny, but she's also really cool and like an awesome woman. And so this is just like a little bit about her that I thought was interesting.
So I'm 47. My mom was actually mentally ill. She has schizophrenia. And so most of my childhood, I was physically abused and mentally abused. And over those years that I was with my mom, I had also had been raped once by a family member. So as the years go, I went to go live with my dad. And by the time I was like a freshman in high school, he was diagnosed with cancer, and then he passed away. I went to go live with a brother, which I have seven of those. And when I was staying with one of my brothers, his wife, her son, raped me as well. So I tell the story because, you know, a lot of times I've come across women who have been raped and molested, and the statistics for that is so crazy. 90% of women in the world will either be raped or molested in their lifetime.
Oh my God.
And because I can actually relate to it, it helped to empower me to be comfortable with my sexuality. A lot of women have been raped and molested, and they become extremely promiscuous. And I tell people, like, you really can't judge people because you don't know what they're going through, and it's a way of taking control.
So, in about the year 2015, she comes out with this grapefruit technique, which she had had for a long time.
And the grapefruit technique really came about because I have actually 56 different techniques.
Oh, my goodness.
The grapefruit is actually just one of 56. And it just came about when I was with my, my second husband. We're not together anymore, but we were dating. I had never given fellatio even when I was married the first time. It was just something I thought, you know, ugly girls have to do. I really just didn't know, you know. And to be honest, in the African American community, when like old school, you know, that was something like our parents told us not to do. That's not something that you go do. You raised in the church, so it wasn't really looked upon as, you know, being something to do. So when he asked me to do it, I was like, oh, like, what are you talking about? But he was serious. He's like, you know, if you want me to keep giving you all this good loving, you're going to have to, you know, give me some of that in return.
Please watch it.
I have seen this before.
It's incredible.
I have seen it.
It really is incredible. She says you have to put a condom on, though, first, because otherwise, obviously, the grapefruit juice will get into the urethra, and then that's a huge problem. So,
well, what man wants a blowjob with a condom?
I guess one that also wants a grapefruit to fuck it. But she...
Hold on, let me check Craigslist.
I researched, watched porn, read about the anatomy, and I started coming up with all these different techniques, and that's how the grapefruit technique came up. I was literally watching a show, and this girl had a handful of fruit. She was giving this guy this amazing blowjob, and I was like, oh my God, I want to do that, but I'm sucking him at the same time. I'm not going to go to the store. So what do I have in my refrigerator that can make something close to that?
Amazing.
And all I had was so I had like an orange and a grapefruit. And I used the orange first. And I thought if I cut these ends and put a hole in it, it kind of mimicked how her hand was holding all the fruit around his penis.
Mm-hmm.
But he was so well endowed that when I did it, the orange exploded. It just ripped apart. You know, lucky me, right?
Yes, so, that's a good problem to have.
So I was like, oh, God, what else can I use? So all I had left was a grapefruit. And because it was bigger, it was able to accommodate him. And that's really how the grapefruit technique came about.
This I really loved. She said, quote, when I talk to women about it, She's talking now about how in the end of her blowjob class that she ends with telling them her story about like being a survivor of sex abuse. And she says, when I talk to women about it, you can see the tears on their face because they can relate. And some women even walk out because I hit a nerve, but they come back and they come and push me aside and say, you didn't realize how much you helped me with your story. Because the key to it all is about empowering women. It's all about us helping each other to get better. We all have common denominators. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, rich, poor, older, or younger. We all have a vagina. We all have a penis, or we all want a penis. We all have feelings. We all have children or something in common. We really need to help each other. We need to empower one another. And then I teach that in every class. Huh. I thought that was so amazing. And so now she has these techniques where she hollows out a cucumber and then slits it down the side so it can fit over any penis and puts it in the microwave. And she says, if you don't feel like sucking dick, just give a hand job with this warm, hot cucumber.
Well, I would love to go into her kitchen.
She's
she has like
everything's been on someone's penis.
Every farmer is selling, giving her all the samples. Be like, try this globe eggplant.
Why don't you try this cherry tomato and tell us what happens?
That is very
like cherry tomato anal beads.
I have a chocolate technique, and I think I actually did it when I went to Paris. I think that's when I released it. So it was a new video. And the chocolate is a very sticky, sticky product, of course. Mm-hmm. So it's just like something that you would imagine. You're going to actually take it and, you know, place it all over his shaft. And, you know, but it's like the dirtiest. There's nothing neat about it. You want to really put a tarp on the bed or wherever. And you want to completely douse his body in it. Now, there's a second part that you can do that's even sexier, that could be a fantasy. You can put the chocolate all over him in the tub.
Whoa.
Then you can take some warm milk, and not be lactose intolerant. Don't get any, you know, regular whole milk. You don't want to be pooping. You just get some almond milk or some rice milk and put some warm milk and pour it all over his body and kind of and rub it all into his skin and lick it off and, you know, kiss and then bathe him, and then you can go and make love. So it's really sensual, and the texture of it just makes you connect with the person because it's slippery and tacky at the same time.
But I just thought it was great, and I thought it was like such an interesting, when I was looking for a story about food and sex, I was like, how cool. I love the, like, you know, because we talk about highs and lows, and I love a story of someone whose life started out really awfully and then they like get to have a nice life later. So many people's lives never turn around, and it's great to hear when someone's does. And it reminds all of us during our dark times that, you know, you could start off one way and then end up being, I don't know, a YouTube star because you made a great blowjob technique with food.
Who would have thought?
It's cool though. Who would have thought?
Who would have thought when she was fixing carburetors in the Army, be like, one day.
Yeah, one day I'll one make day millions off of giving a blowjob with a grapefruit.
Yeah.
It's so awesome. So. She's cool, though. She's real cool. Do you have advice for people about, you know, trying new things and kind of just getting outside of your comfort zone and having fun with sex?
You know what? I tell people all the time, the best way to kind of get out of your comfort zone is to give yourself an alter ego. It really helps. If people ever notice, every celebrity just has an alter ego. They are totally different in person, but when they hit that stage or when they're doing whatever it is they do, they hit a zone that makes them very comfortable, whatever it is they're doing. And we should do the same thing sexually. Me, I'm Angel. That's my alter ego. And it gives me the power to do anything that I want without any expectations. And if it doesn't work out, I'm not embarrassed. I just blame it on her. Like, girl, that Angel just always trying something. And it makes my partner excited because it's almost like he gets two women in one. Which, what man doesn't want two women? And, you know, and then also it helps to open up the communication with him, because a lot of times men are very uncomfortable speaking about sex with their partners as well. So once you start showing that you could be someone else, he possibly, if not almost most likely, will open up and start telling you things that he wants you to do all the time. So if you are shy, put on a wig or put on some sunglasses or blindfold him or give yourself an alter ego. It really, really does help. And then go right back to yourself.
I think some people need permission to know that, like, it's okay to be sexual. Like, who know? You know, I think a lot of these women, I would assume, might have a lot of fear.
Yeah.
And perhaps like dead end relationships, or they're like wanting to rebuild a relationship with their partner. And so they go to this woman and she's really nice. And she's like really relatable and really, really open. And she just goes for it. I mean, she just chows down on big dildos.
The tantric sex of food.
But she's like, seems really kind. Yeah. Tantric sex of food.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, Saffron. No, I don't know.
Wait, weren't you saying something about Saffron before?
I was just reading that could also be considered another aphrodisiac.
Oh, right.
But I don't know if it is. I mean, it's very expensive, and I think you'd have to have a lot of it. So you'd have to be very rich, in which case, people, exactly like you said, you're just going to be attracted. Power.
Yeah.
People want power. They want more bananas.
Have you ever had a situation where you've involved food in your sex life?
Mm-mm.
Not even edible underwear?
No.
Really?
No.
I think back in the day I did edible underwear. Well,
maybe because I cook, I'm always like, oh, I mean.
You're like, I can make much better edible underwear than this.
Well, we were talking about, okay, we were saying, what are some of the best things to make for people?
Oh, the best thing to make for people? So, hang on. That would be our chef recommends.
Okay, so chef recommends things that you should cook.
Yes, things you should cook to get you laid. Go ahead. What would you recommend for listeners to get them laid?
Listener is ready. Now, the question is this a temporary thing, or are you looking for a marriage?
Yeah, you want to put a ring on it.
So I always like to say
a squid ring.
You really want, yeah. You want to decide what kind of relationship. Like, do you want to know what this person's like? Like, hey, listen, I love what's something. I love whole grilled leeks. So we will share those together. And Zara, we cut leeks in half, and they were very good, but they were very messy, and you really had to, like, I've had to wrap my finger around it and shove it in my mouth.
Oh, yeah.
They actually did melt once you put in.
Absolutely. We didn't have any knives. If we did, that would have been.
Now, of course, people always say, ribs, right?
People say you want to eat ribs?
No, I'm saying if you want to like, know what they're like, then you like can be messy with
somebody.
Oh,
yeah, okay.
Wipe your face. Licking your fingers. You know, a bowl of spaghetti.
Yes, you can.
This, again, back to Lady and the Tramp, twirling it, feeding it.
Yeah.
Although in that case, I would probably recommend fusilli. So that you can stab it with your fork and give it to your partner. Hi, try my fusilli.
Try this fusilli. I've made it for you. Although, do you remember the fusilli episode of Seinfeld when George's dad gets into making fusilli? He makes a fusilli Jerry, and then the proctologist. Oh, no, wait, hang on. Kramer makes fusilli people. He makes a fusilli Jerry, and then George's dad falls on it and goes up his ass.
No.
It's amazing.
We're going to have to look that up.
That's really funny. That's one of my other favorite episodes. So, okay, you're saying the chef recommends to make things that you feel like it's like a test. So you're like, oh, are we really in this for like the long haul? We're going to have some sloppy like ribs or spaghetti.
Yeah. Soft shell crabs, fusilli. A lobster.
Okay. Interesting. So I'm going to go the other way and go like how to get to like your partner's heart. So a couple of things that have totally gotten me laid before have been coq au vin, obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
And I don't mean the dish. I mean, you take the person who you're going to sleep with's cock and
you drink three bottles of wine and it's a guarantee lay. Skip the food.
No, coq au vin is a good one because it's classic. It's not actually hard to make. And then it seems like you really know what you're doing. You can really impress somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I think also, well, you know, it depends like who you're cooking for. I mean, most people like pasta, right? So to get into someone's pants, maybe make them a lasagna. I've always said
lasagna is classic.
A lasagna is good.
Skip the garlic, maybe.
Yeah. Do you hate garlic breath? Does that turn you off?
No.
Okay.
Preston would say that it doesn't, but only the
Preston
next day.
Had told me differently that it does, that you are annoyed when his garlic
day.
Breath. Oh, next day garlic breath. Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to wake up in the morning.
And I don't really care about it. I'm not weird about garlic breath.
Another thing I would say, if you're not a vegetarian, a big, delicious, simple steak, but a nice steak, like a ribeye or something, pan-seared ribeye and a gorgeous, clean, beautiful salad and some bread and butter and some wine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's good. You can kind of just like gnarl off the bone. It's not too heavy if you make it with a salad.
And then if they say they like it well done, be like, get
exactly.
out of here.
Then you know we that it's not going to work out. Yeah.
Or you learned that all relationships require a compromise and say, oh, you like yours well done. You take the end fatty pieces and I'll take the inside closer to the bone.
Or they ask for ketchup.
Yeah. And then in which case, you know, be like, get out of
then
here.
Then you call the police. You're like, there's a serial killer in my house.
They're like, what's happening? They're like, well, I had a cast iron steak, and I made a really nice pan sauce, and I had some...
She asked for ketchup.
Yeah.
Yeah, then you know you have a serious issue. So those are good things to get you laid. Also, you could think of interactive foods that you could eat off of each other. You know,
much like in Sex in the City, when you could place sushi on top of your body and
yes,
have her.
Exactly.
For a first date, we really recommend that.
Yeah. If you're just meeting a guy or a girl and you really kind of like don't know if you like each other yet, the best thing to do is order a bunch of sushi, have one of your best friends put it all over your body, mm-hmm. and then leave. Let it get nice and warm and sit out for a while because, you know, people are late sometimes. Then the guy will come over. You've already made him keys because, you know, you're trying to take things slow.
Yep.
He comes in and then you're covered in sushi and you guys can have a beautiful dinner together.
Yeah.
And do that. Then, your belly button is full of soy sauce.
Exactly.
Your eyes have little wasabi eyes on them.
The taco and the saba is already, and the hotate is definitely already covered in bacteria.
Wait, but seriously, things you can involve in your sex life though. Whipped cream. That's a classic.
Whipped cream.
I have never had a desire to like eat food off of someone's body.
Yeah, no. Like, I don't know.
I just don't. I'm not like that calculated.
I think it was in the in the HBO Real Sex documentary.
Yeah.
I think it was in 1996 or 7. It was episode 16 or so. I can't remember. I couldn't find it because I don't know.
Was splashing?
No, they just have a food workshop where they play with food and like peanut butter or cashew butter.
Oh, I thought peanut butter is what people did when they wanted their dogs to give them a blowjob.
Oh, that is a thing too.
Yeah. Have you ever done that?
Yeah.
How much do sparkles and women like almond butter?
It's funny you said dogs, but I actually had a pet chinchilla. I'm just kidding.
Ew. Tiniest tongue ever. That would take so long. You would be getting like a blowjob for like 30 hours.
Oh, I like chinchillas. They're so cute.
But do you like them?
No, I just
like do you want to marry them?
I love chinchillas.
Okay, so what's our, in our top three this week, we decided we want to bring to you inappropriate foods to eat on a date.
Yes.
On a first date.
Okay. Inappropriate foods on a first date when you're going home later. I mean,
sandwich.
Yeah.
Amelia one time told me that she got it. She was like, she ended up dating the guy for a long time. We're like, how did the first date go? She goes, it was great. We went to blah, blah, blah restaurant. I don't remember. This is years ago. I was like, what did you get? She's like, a steak sandwich. I was like, you monster. But it worked. They were together for like 5 years.
Well, look at that.
Yeah. Anyway.
I would say just a giant... to avoid a giant Italian American meal where it's going to be slathered in butter and you're going to feel so full and then you're going to eat like your veal parm and your garlic bread and and you're going to be like, ooh, like
totally. Or really, really spicy food, like Ugly Baby up the street from here. Love it. It's absolutely amazing. But like, that's like some serious pain afterwards.
Some really intense.
And definitely in the morning after is like a lot of diarrhea.
Yeah. So you don't want to do that.
You don't especially have like your first adult sleepover and you're like hooking
and the
up
bedroom,
in the morning.
Yeah.
And
if
like,
you're in New York, the bathroom is
inside.
In the bedroom and you just have to put a shower curtain with no fan.
Yeah. Oh,
and
God.
You have to flush like a million times.
Oh my God.
So the diarrhea
That makes
sound.
Me not want to date anymore. Just that pooping makes me not want to date.
Well, then you get through the first date and then you know.
Yeah.
So go to Ugly Baby. There you go.
You
want to find out?
Let's flip it on its head. If you really like someone, take them to Ugly Baby and ask them to sleep over.
Yeah. Ugly Baby is a very spicy Thai restaurant.
It's
so I'm
amazing.
Sure if you don't live in New York, you could probably find a really nice spicy Thai restaurant.
Exactly. Well, find some spicy food. Try it out. Actually, don't. I think another really bad thing to eat on a date is clam chowder.
Clam chowder.
New England clam chowder. It's just like, I love it, but it just seems so unsexy.
Heavy potatoes,
heavy creamy. It's like sloppy and like slurpity.
Clam chowder is for one thing. Coming off the ship of the, you know, the wayfarer's hand, and he comes in his boots and he's like, I'm cold because I'm fishing all day and you just need a cup of clam chowder.
I love
in
it.
A bread bowl.
I could sit here all day and talk to you about things I would eat out of a bread bowl. I would eat clam chowder out of the toilet bowl. I love it.
Life's a Banquet's going to be opening a restaurant called In a Bread Bowl.
In a Bread Bowl, the Brett and Scott story.
And and we'll offer gluten-free bread bowls. We'll offer keto bread bowls. It's just...
gluten-free bread bowls.
Like,
it's just a bowl. It's just a regular bowl. Like ceramic bowl.
So definitely no clam chowder. And I would say, I'm in all seriousness, don't get ribs.
Oh, so you're saying the same token, get them and don't get them. I think also no ribs. I think ribs is a no.
I think just anything that you have to eat with your hands.
Yeah.
Because you know what? You're nervous.
How about beef and broccoli?
With sesame oil or not?
But like traditional, like brown sauce, beef and broccoli.
No, broccoli burps.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Cruciferous vegetable.
Oh, nothing cruciferous.
Nothing cruciferous. No Brussels
sprouts. Totally.
You know what? First of all, let's interject and just say, like, hold off on the Brussels sprouts.
I'd say just, like, don't eat.
Don't eat.
Just, like, go get a martini. Have an olive. Two olives.
Let's bring back wine bars. Yeah. Wine bars. Cheese plate.
Right, exactly.
Skip the sopressata. It has garlic in it.
Just push your salad around your plate and look cute. Oh, my God. I can't believe you're in finance. That's so surprising.
So what else do you do on the weekends?
I don't like me and my friends. We go to brunch.
Sorry if you go to brunch.
Perfect. Let's get out of here. Brunch. All right. Brunch.
She'll have another mimosa, please. So in case you...
that's funny. Well, also nachos. That's a good second date. After you've already banged, second you know you like date, each other.
Yes.
And you're like, let's now get right into this.
Yeah.
Then you're like, let's chow on a plate of nachos. And then you don't care if you stink. Like onions. It's not the smell thing for me. I'm not like, oh.
Why are people weird about onions? Poor onions.
Poor onions. I don't care about the smell at all. I'm not like, oh, I don't want to smell like food or this or that. I'm about the feeling in my stomach of like, if I'm, moving up and down and all around, what's going to happen?
Why do onions move around?
No, I'm just saying like the thing I don't want to eat before a date, if I'm planning on having sex, is more based on like, I don't want to like feel sick while I'm having sex, or worse, if you're like giving, head and then it goes down too far and then you throw
up. So when you're on a date, you should have a light order of, you should go to a Japanese restaurant.
Yeah.
And get a seaweed salad.
Exactly.
And skip the rice and get a couple pieces of Maguro, get a tuna, and then skip the fried calamari.
Yes. Skip the fried calamari, but you could bring it back home for a little calamari play.
That's right. Put those rings around the old...
the new 2008 cock ring is for foodies. Food porn. Yeah, yeah. Calamari cock ring.
Calamari cock ring. There's one for
trending
every size.
Hashtag calamari cock ring. Yeah.
Use the whole tube for really wacky nights.
That's funny.
And of course, you know what? The best thing is, I know we were just talking about the worst things, but don't forget the chocolate cake. You were just talking about, people love chocolate cake.
That's true.
It does kind of...
Or like ice cream.
Ice cream.
Yeah.
How could we forget good old ice cream?
A whole Jello mold.
Mm-hmm. A whole Jello mold.
Oh, my God. Or sorbet.
I tell people a lot of times that the scent of vanilla, it drives me crazy. And I don't even think a lot of people know that. But it's something about the vanilla that really makes a man want to just eat you alive. So I wear a lot of vanilla.
Or an ice pop. That's very sexy. Oh, my God. Go out to dinner. Order the ice pops for dessert.
Be like,
2 ice pops, please.
Excuse me. just so you know, if you do decide to get ice pops this evening, we will need to let the kitchen know at least 25 minutes advance so they are properly frozen by the time you finish with your ribeye steaks and garlic
that's
bread.
That's really funny. Oh, my God. Ice pops at a restaurant?
Yeah.
That's really good. We, at Brucey, a couple of years ago, like, I guess, the year 2014, in 2013, we did a Beyoncé-themed Valentine's Day, which was amazing. And we did all, like, Beyoncé-themed food. It was really funny and really cool. But then in 2014, we did a Kim Kardashian-themed Valentine's Day, which was also pretty awesome, but it was very sexual. But it was all topped off by an ass-shaped ice luge. It was an ice luge shaped like Kim Kardashian's bust, and you could drink shots. You poured the tequila or the whatever liquor down the neck hole, and then it would come out of her tit, out of her nipples, vagina, and asshole.
So you would have 1, 2, 3 people.
You could have four people.
Four people having one shot.
Yeah. It was insane.
Now, kudos to the artist on that one.
It was the craziest ice luge I've ever seen. I was probably cost like $5,000.
Worth every penny. I'd do it again.
It was the best $25,000 I ever spent. And that's why we no longer have a restaurant, but it's okay. It was worth it. I was like, my bookkeeper was like, Zay, you can either keep the restaurant open or you can have this ice luge. And I was
perfect.
Like,
perfect.
Ice luge. Done.
Thank you for making it easy.
No brainer.
Well, that's all very
And that's how
exciting.
I met my husband.
Yes. Here he is. Hi.
Todd.
Todd.
Deal breaker. Hang on. You're not with Preston. This is a fantasy deal breaker. You're not with Preston. You meet a guy. You go on a date with him. You guys really like each other, but you forgot or you never got his name. You find out it's Todd.
I mean, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. Why? What's wrong with Todd?
I'm not into a Todd.
Why? There's probably I have plenty of friends named Todd.
Listen, if you're a hot Todd out there,
hot toddy.
If you happen to be a hot Todd listening to this podcast, holler at me. I'm single and I'd like to be proven wrong.
That's right.
I don't think I could love a Todd.
Well, I mean, you know, it's all what a. There's so many things. There's so many. It's so hard. You know,
do you feel like there's so many Todds in the world? Like, how could I make such a sweeping generalization?
Names. I get it.
You think Todd is a unique name?
No, I'm saying that I wouldn't.
What is it even short for? Toddsworth? Toddington?
Toddley.
Toddler?
Toddley.
Toddley. Toddard. Oh, he's so cute. What should we name him, honey? How about Todd?
Todd. It's a good one.
I mean, whatever. Anyway, do you have any shout outs this week, Breton? Anywhere you went, anything you liked?
I haven't gone anywhere. Isn't that funny?
It's hilarious.
Yeah, very funny.
I have a couple.
Okay.
I went with Preston to Hanoi House.
Oh, yes.
Which is in the Alphabet City. And it was absolutely delicious. It's Vietnamese. It was really, like, amazing. Amazingly good. The best Vietnamese food I've ever had. It was like a newish kind of place. It wasn't like, you know, a super authentic kind of place like we would go to. And like, for instance, when we get Chinese food in Chinatown, we go to the like hole in the walls. It wasn't like that, but it wasn't super hipstery and like, you know, polished either. It was somewhere in the middle.
That's nice.
It was very chill. The food was unbelievably delicious.
Hmm.
Everyone was very friendly. It was really good.
Did you have to get a reservation?
No, we waited for like 30 minutes. We went up to Amaro y Amargo, which is around the block, and a wonderful, lovely place that I haven't been to in a couple of years. And we had some Negronis and it was great. And then last night I went to a bar called Diamond Reef in Bed-Stuy, which I had never been to.
Diamond
Reef. I really liked. It was really cute. They have like frozen drinks and like the bartenders were really nice. We got to sit outside and I thought it was chill. I thought it was really cool.
That's fun.
Yeah.
My shout out again is home.
That's a good shout out to have. If you like your home,
Bobby's beach house.
Oh my God, Bobby's house. Bobby was so cute this week. Oh my God. She was so.
Bobby is Zara's mother.
That's true.
But
Bobby is Zara's mother, but you wish she was your mother?
Yeah. You know, Bobby.
I'm my best friend's mom, and I wish you were
so,
mine.
So I guess just to wrap up here.
Yes, please download, rate, review, subscribe our podcast. And also, please go to our Patreon page and give us some money so we can do some stuff.
Have some more fabulous information.
Have a heart. Have a heart. Aren't you bored with these stupid episodes? Don't you want us to do something better? That means we need money.
We need two more producers. We need a video camera. We need a van. We need a...
Yeah, we need shirts. I need a facelift. Yeah, Brent needs a... Razor.
Implants.
Brett needs breast implants.
Exactly. They're very expensive these days.
But in conclusion, what should we say about food and sex? Like, what are your closing arguments, debate team champion?
Well, I would say, first of all, I did bring a cutting board, so don't worry about it.
To the house today?
I guess to realize that one should explore all options and to realize what makes them feel good and that no matter what you do, as long as you're not putting peanut butter and asking a chinchilla to lick it off, then it's mostly safe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you're having fun with your partner or with yourself, then it's fun. Explore.
And you know what? Go get a dozen oysters. That's it. Go get a dozen oysters with your first date.
That's perfect.
And if they don't like oysters, then that's okay too. Then
you
eat a dozen oysters.
And then see what happens.
And see what happens. And then email us.
At lifesabanquetshow@gmail.com.
And we will also take pictures and video. So we're cool.
Let's ask our listeners, please email us this week and let us know about your craziest stories of anything you've done food and sex related. And if you want, we'll read them on the air.
Yeah. Or just go on our Instagram and push that instant message button, which is easier and faster. And we will get it in vibrate in our pockets. Ooh.
Please.
While we're eating a peach at a farmer's market, and we'll both answer it.
Guys, everybody eat a peach this week.
Mm-hmm. They're
eat
almost
it,
good.
Stone fuck fruit. It, lick it, stick it.
Okay. So anyway, so go ahead. Please email us. We're so happy that you're listening to us. Thanks again. It's been going wonderfully, and we love to hear your stories.
Thank you, everybody. Listen, life's a banquet. The rest is just details.
That's
hasta
right.
Hasta la pasta. When you were at some of the darkest kind of times in your life, like, could have you ever imagined that your life would have turned out like this?
You know what? I don't think anyone can when you're in the dark, because you don't see the light. You pray that there's an end to it, but you don't see it at the moment. But what I will say is I don't regret a moment. I wouldn't change anything that ever happened to me. If I had to redo it, I would not change a thing, because it made me the woman that I am. And I tell people, I truly believe God allowed me to go through hell to bless other people. And that's really the purpose of going through things, is to help someone. Just like your podcast, this is giving a voice to people who probably don't have a voice and they're able to hear, and it can actually change someone's life just one broadcast at a time. And those things are very, very important. But I thank God for it. And who knows what my future still holds for me. You know, I have a long life to live, and hopefully, you know, I get on the big screen one day and spread the word and the food.
Yay, that would be great.
Bigger. Yeah, but yeah, I don't regret anything.
Can you just tell people where to find you, like on the internet, and maybe the name of your website and your classes and stuff?
Yes. My website is Angels Erotic Solutions. So Angels has an S on it, angelserotic solutions.com. On my website, it will show you the classes that I offer. I do travel all over the world. I also have a book. I'm an author. The name of my book, Angel Secrets, is only available on ebook on the site. And then I have two DVDs that you can purchase as well, hard copies or downloads. I do have a jewelry line that are all angel-based. They're wings.
Ooh.
So pretty much when you wear a wing, it officially makes you a dick connoisseur.
Oh, cool.
So you're part of the Secret Society. So that is my website. Then my Instagram and my Twitter is both the same. It's Grapefruit Lady 1. And my Facebook, Ask Auntie Angel. If you want someone to email me, ask me questions, you can always reach me at askauntieangel@gmail.com. And that is all my information.
All of our episodes are recorded right here at Studio 54 at the heart of Fort Greene, Brooklyn. Our rock star, award-winning sound editor and producer is Christine Farrell. I'm Zara Tangora.
And I'm Bretton Scott. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening.